Well, howdy there, stranger. I'm Jordy.
And I'm Brad.
And welcome back to Beers with Queers, the true crime podcast where I research a case and Brad here, and potentially you guys.
Hold up. It's the remix this week, folks. Not only do I know a damn thing about it, I'm actually going to be leading this episode and Jordy gets to sit back and listen.
And not know a damn thing about it. So I'm very excited. This is one of my Christmas presents.
Yeah, and if you are listening today, I want to say Merry Christmas. It is Christmas Day. We are putting in the midnight oil and actually doing a episode on Christmas Day for you guys. And if it's in the future and it's not Christmas Day, I hope you're having a very wonderful new year.
Yeah, and especially with the holidays, Christmas especially, it is very difficult for a lot of members in the queer community. Especially if you don't have an accepting family or you do have bigoted family and you have to kind of like go back in the closet just to be around them or they put you down and stuff like that. Definitely understand that it's a very difficult and hard time for a lot of queer people. And so just know that our hearts go out to you. You aren't alone. We are here. Thank you for spending Christmas with us because we enjoy spending it with you. And just know that you are loved and you do have a family, even if yours isn't accepting. And if you ever need to reach out or feel alone, you can always talk to us on our socials, on Instagram or Facebook, and we will happily make you not feel alone.
All right, I'm going to start this week's episode off with a really weird question. What country first comes to mind when I say the word cannibal?
Well, I'm going to go and say Germany, because I've seen a few movies based around that from Germany. And so, I guess, Germany.
Okay. You're going right into what I was hoping you would say. There's a lot of people, I actually kind of walked around the office and asked people, I said, what country comes to mind when I say the word cannibal? And after a lot of really weird looks, most of the people would say Germany. And, you know, right now I'm not picking on Germany, believe me, because I'm actually going to kind of get into why there is this, like, German cannibal stigma out there in the world, because Germany does have its fair share of high-profile cannibal cases, but almost every country in the world has at least a few standout cannibal stories. Jeffrey Dahmer here in the United States, Anthony Morley in the Great Britain, I am butchering this, Andrei Chikatilo of the Ukraine is just to name a few. But the reason I think that so many associate Germany specifically with cannibalism is the sensational case of Armin Muse, also known as the Rottenburg Cannibal. And I think what made this case truly extra sensational was that Muse's victim volunteered himself to be eaten and even participated in devouring his own flesh before willingly being butchered for meat. This raised the question, was this actually murder because the victim gave consent? Public opinion was shocked and heated, fueling a media sensation all over Germany that spread globally. But before we get into the gruesome details of this case, and trust me, they are gruesome, let's look back at what made Muse become the Rottenburg Cannibal.
So I've definitely heard of this case. I think it's one of those cases that if you are deep in the trenches of the true crime community and you research a lot of those cases, you've at least heard of Armin Muse because of some of the gruesome details. But if you haven't, yeah, definitely buckle up because it is going to be, especially if you have a penis, it's going to hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to hurt. So Armin Muse was born on December 1st, 1961, into an affluent family in Essen, Germany. When Armin was 5 years old, his father abandoned Armin and his mother and took Armin's two half-brothers, whom he considered his favorite children, along with him. This left Armin to be raised by a domineering mother in the family's 44-room mansion. It was said that his mother was a tyrant And Armin was not able to even have friends because, and so he had a very lonely childhood because of it. This scenario definitely makes me think of Norman Bates and his mother's relationship in the movie Psycho, right down to you don't really need friends because a boy's best friend is his mother. At around age 8, Armin became fascinated with the story of Hansel and Gretel, specifically the cannibalistic aspects of it, making him fantasize about consuming his classmates and the few friends that he actually did have. He said he wanted to consume them so that they would always be a part of him. And, you know, this kind of beckons back to Jeffrey Dahmer because he had this loneliness issue and he always wanted to devour his victims so that they couldn't leave him. And there's definitely an abandonment issue here with Armin, and this leads into everything that he does for the rest of his life.
Well, that's interesting. I wonder if there's any studies about that between, like, loneliness and cannibalism, because if he's thinking of cannibalizing his classmates from the age of, what, 8? Obviously, there's something mentally going on wrong there, so I'm curious to see if that's actually a mental condition, cannibalism.
And just wait, we kind of go into the mental condition later, and you're going to be surprised, let me tell you. So the desire to consume people and make them part of himself so that they could never leave him was from a deep sense of loneliness and abandonment. And like I said, it was much like the serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer. In fact, Armin was so lonely and desperate for a companion that he created an imaginary younger brother named Frankie. Frankie was blonde and beautiful, and idealized as looking like Sandy on the American TV show Flipper. Frankie would sit and listen to Armin, and he would not judge him for his desires. And he would also support Armin emotionally when dealing with the suffocating and demanding nature of his mother. But unfortunately, Armin admitted that Frankie always ended up being disemboweled and cut into pieces in all of his fantasies. By the way, remember the name Frankie as it plays a part later in the story.
I mean, didn't we all have a imaginary friend when we were 8 that we disemboweled?
And consumed.
And consumed.
And actually, I kind of think it's weird that Armin's imaginary brother was a younger brother. Because, you know, if he was, like, feeling lonely and needed support, you'd think he would have, like, an older brother that would be protective and everything. But no, it was a younger brother that looked like a blonde kid that he had kind of like a crush on, I think, from a TV show that he wanted to eat. So already things kind of are a little wonky, way wonky in my mind. So later, Armin began working with the army, and he admitted to having gay relationships with many of his colleagues, as well as frequenting prostitutes. He continued to live with his mother during this time, so he still did not have any real relationships because his mother was so demanding and everything like that. He could never bring anybody down or bring anybody over to the house. So he didn't really have any friendships. He didn't have a relationship. All he had was his mother. So Armin turned to the internet and the online community to try to find some of the lonely, try to fill some of that lonely void that he was feeling. But he soon gravitated towards sites that promoted pornography and cannibalism. And we're talking about the late 90s, so at this time, the internet was essentially the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, the birth of the internet, the mid to late 90s, early 2000s was just a lawless land, so.
Yeah, you could go to any, like, search browser, type in anything you wanted to see, and they would show it. There was no kind of, like, censoring. I know people are like, oh, the internet is not censored, but it's definitely filtered now. Like, used to. Yeah, used to, you could just type in whatever you wanted to see and you could see it. And a lot of times you wished you had not seen it. So after the death of his mother in 1999, Armin didn't have anything to hold him back from trying to actually bring his fantasies to a grim reality. He now had free reign over this massive house and property. And he spent a year reading about serial killers and reading biographies by them in preparation for his next step. His mother, however, still had a hold over his life, and he reportedly constructed a shrine to her in the house, complete with a plastic mannequin that he would lay on a pillow each night. So, Mom still got a place in his heart. and that is mine.
And that really is like Norman Bates, because spoiler alert for a 60-year-old movie, but you know, he dug her up and kept her body in her bedroom. And so, and it's really weird, because reading up on all these serial killer books and stuff like that, I mean, that's not weird. I do that. But to prepare for his next step is really a haunting thing to say. And so he's very obviously very mentally disturbed, and it's interesting to see how it's going to like spread now that the one thing that kept him locked down is gone.
Yeah, and again, we're going to get into the mental aspects here in a little bit, and again, you're going to be surprised. So Armin posted an online advertisement in a site called The Cannibal Cafe, stating that he was looking for a well-built 18 to 25-year-old to be slaughtered and then consumed under the pseudonym Frankie the Master Butcher. So he's using his made-up brother's name as his handle in this cannibal cafe, looking for a willing participant to be slaughtered and eaten.
And for those of you who weren't around in the, you know, that turn of the century internet, you might think like, oh, this is a joke website or something like that. But there was legitimately forums and websites dedicated to all sorts of depraved things that would you just find on the internet. You didn't have to go to the dark web or anything. So if you wanted to talk about cannibalism seriously, you just type it in to Google. Wasn't around yet, but you could just type it into the internet, and right there on the front page is a place to advertise for cannibalism.
Yeah, and this is a place that seriously talked about cannibalism. I mean,
no, it wasn't a joke.
It was like a place where people could talk about their fantasies about cannibalism, but it was also a place where people could talk like, hey, let's get real about this. I want to be a cannibal. And that's what Armin was here for. He wasn't here for a fantasy. He was here looking for the real thing. And surprisingly, he received a lot of interest from gay men that shared a similar fetish for cannibalism. And he even met up with a few in hotel rooms, and he got all of them got like cold feet before they actually went through with the act. And Armin never tried to pressure any of the men, and stated that if it happened, it would have to happen consensually. His victim would have to actually want to be part of this and actually want to be consumed. He even turned down a man that wanted to be beaten to death. And Armin said, that was just weird. I didn't want to have anything to do with that.
I don't want to beat you to death. I want to eat you.
Yeah, I mean, the man actually asked to be nailed down, and then beaten to death. And Armin was like, that's just weird. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. But, I mean, if you wanted to be slaughtered and eaten, I'm all in for it.
All for it.
So it would take 18 months for his initial post until he would find a person that would ultimately go through with being butchered and eaten. On March 6, 2001, a user going by the handle Cater99 answered Armin's post, stating that he wanted his penis to be bitten off and was prepared to be killed and slaughtered. So I actually found the original chat transcripts between the two of them. So Jordy, would you mind reading for Cater99? And I'll read for Armin, who's going under the synonym antrophagus. By the way, antrophagus, or antrophage, is a member of a mythical race of cannibals described by the playwright William Shakespeare. So this just shows you, like, cannibalism is like number one forefront on Armin's mind. I mean, everything is cannibalism. Like, even his username actually harkens back to a William Shakespeare play where it's a mythical cannibal race.
So he put in the work and the research. So that just shows you how serious he actually was. You know, like, a lot of people may have, say, they have like this fantasy, but it's just like surface level fantasy, but like, he's like, no, I've done my research.
This is his life.
This is all I want to do. And so it's very disturbing, but very fascinating at the same time.
And I'm going to, before we even start this, this is something I don't even have in my notes, but it's something that, so Armin was not a really weird guy on the outside. Like, his neighbors really liked him. He was helpful with his neighbors. He like would fix their cars. He would have people over for like dinners and everything like that, and like everybody was really shocked when he came out as a cannibal. So, you know, like, Jeffrey Dahmer definitely like especially after watching, like, you know, the series on him and everything. Jeffrey Dahmer come off as a really weird guy all the time, and it's really surprising that people would go home with him and everything. But, like, Armin, on the other hand, come off as, like, just your normal guy, like your neighbor next door who's really helpful and everything like that. But as we're about to read, while he's in his home on the internet, he's doing a completely different thing. So would you start us off here?
Hello.
Hi, Cater. What do you do professionally that you're up so late at night?
I can't sleep well anymore because of our meeting.
That's a sensible reason. Yesterday, I was incredibly tired. It was a stressful day.
I'm actually in telecommunications.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
I believe you.
I'm looking forward to our meeting. It's definitely going to be really cool.
I want it to be. I hope it'll be really cool. Are you setting an alarm clock?
It's only a few days until March 9th.
Still, I would have rather met you yesterday and felt your teeth.
One can't have everything. There's still some time before you really feel my teeth.
I hardly know what to expect. Have you slaughtered a man before?
Unfortunately, only in my dreams. But in my thoughts, I do it every night.
So I'm the first? You have eaten human flesh before, or haven't you?
No, you don't exactly find it in the supermarket, unfortunately.
So how do you know if it'll taste good to you, or that the blood won't make you sick?
I'm readying myself with my dreams. Once I was so excited, I grabbed a needle and drew my own blood so that I could drink it.
And your blood, it tasted good to you?
It was quite tasty. Once I was drilling some holes and a drill slipped right into my hand. That was a real treat. Blood is the juice of life. It contains everything a person needs for nutrition.
Then I hope you won't wilt, that you can really see it through without a problem.
To bite into your penis will certainly not be easy. Living flesh is somewhat more resistant than fried, but one thing is certain, our dream will be fulfilled.
But there's not so much in it as there is in muscle.
Yeah, but the penis is principally a spongy material filled with blood.
For both of our sakes, I hope that's true. I hope you have already thought about what's to be done with the rest. Fulfilling the dream shouldn't be a nightmare for you. No one will know where I've disappeared to.
After you're dead, I'll take you out and expertly carve you up, except for a pair of knees and some fleshy cartilage, skin, cartilage, tendons. There won't be much of you left.
There will be a good bit, like the knees. I hope you have a good hiding place for them.
I'll dry out the knees and grind them up soon after.
Okay. They're good fertilizer, I heard that once. I see you've thought about it. Good. Sounds like I'm the first.
And you won't be the last. Hopefully. I've already considered catching a young person from the street, but I would rather kill someone who wanted to be killed.
That also doesn't sound bad, but yeah, seeing as it's not so totally legal, this is, in my eyes, better than yanking somebody directly off the street.
Exactly. I'd do it if it were legal. So Cater 99 turned out to be a 43-year-old Siemens engineer from Berlin named Bernard Jürgen Armando Brands. Brands would later be described during the trial by the state prosecutor, Marcus Kolen, as a man who suffered from severe psychological problems and felt the desire to destroy himself.
And that's so crazy. Like, reading the, like, chat rooms, it's just like a casual conversation between friends. And, like, some of the stuff they said is so chilling. And, like, honestly, it's, like, almost too chilling to believe that it's true, because it seems just like two guys trying to see, like, what can we say that'll be the most shocking, like, thing to read. But it's even more haunting knowing how the case turns out, that, no, they were 100% casual and legit about all this, and that just makes it so more just disturbing.
Yeah, I mean, most people, like, the ultimate thing to be terrified of is death. And Brands here is just like, yeah, I'm ready. I hope you don't get caught afterwards. You know, I hope you've got a plan for all the pieces that you can't eat of me and everything. And, of course, you know, Armin's like, yeah, I've thought this out very thoroughly. Armin and Brands continued to exchange intimate messages until March 9th. And on that day, Brands took the day off from work. He sold all of his personal belongings, including his sports car. He completely wiped his hard drives on all of his computers and bought a one-way ticket to Castle, where Armin was waiting to drive him to the house. So this guy is committed. Like, he's sold all of his worldly property. He knows what's going to happen. It's very shocking to me, and I think that's what made this case so shocking to everybody else, was this guy went in. He's not technically a victim. He is a willing participant in this whole thing. So on his way to Armin's house, they stopped at a pharmacy for painkillers. And Armin's home, when they got there, was chaotic. And I'm going to put some pictures. It is freaking scary, with most of the rooms cluttered with mess and mementos of Armin's mother everywhere. It looks like kind of like the scene where they walk into the house in Texas Chainsaw Massacre and it just looks like a freaking nightmare. That's what this looked like to me. You know, I looked at the pictures and there's like clutter and trash and like mannequin heads and just, it looks scary. And this guy's like, okay, so that's this is fun. I knew what I was signing up for. In fact, the first thing that they done when they got there was the two had sex. And then after that, Armin took Brands up and showed him his specifically designed slaughter rooms up in Armin's attic. Brands briefly got cold feet and almost backed out, but then he was like, you know what? Screw it. And he swallowed 20 sleeping pills, a whole bottle of cough syrup, and a bottle of schnapps to go through with it. The two then cuddled on the floor in the slaughter chamber until Brands was ready. At that time, Armin switched on a video camera to tape everything, ensuring that he captured Brands consenting by saying, now do it. Initially, Armin tried to fulfill Brands' wishes of having his penis bitten off, but it was too tough to bite through. So Brands urged Armin cut the thing off. Armin used a kitchen knife to cut off the penis and tried feeding it to Brands, but it was too tough to chew. So Brands is bleeding profusely, but Armin bound the wound, cut the penis into two, and fried it with salt, pepper, wine, and garlic, and Brands' own fat. The two tried to eat it, but Brands could only manage a gulp before he fell unconscious from the continuous blood loss. Armin later stated that the penis was tough and unpalatable, so he cut the remaining pieces up and fed them to his dog. Armin drew Brands a bath and placed him in it, leaving him in the tub while he went to read a Star Trek book, coming back every 15 minutes to see if Brands had passed away. But Brands just lay in the tub, drifting in and out of consciousness, bleeding for nearly 3 hours. Every time he would come into consciousness, Armin would say that he would ask him to continue cutting on him. Finally, Armin said that he kissed him and prayed for forgiveness before stabbing him in the neck and finally killing Brands.
Could you imagine laying in a bathtub castrated for 3 hours, just slowly bleeding to death? But at the same time, apparently, allegedly, according to Armin, keep asking to let them, like, cut more from you and eat you. It's just absolutely horrific to think about.
I mean, honestly, on the other side of it, also just as horrifically, is that Armin has got a man in his bathtub bleeding to death, and he's just going in and reading a Star Trek novel, and he's got a timer set to come back and check on him every 15 minutes until he's dead for 3 hours. It's just unreal to me. Finally, Armin said that he kissed him, prayed for forgiveness before stabbing him in the neck and finally killing Brands. Afterwards, Armin hung the body on a meat hook to drain, dismembered it on a butcher's block, and placed his flesh in meal-sized portions in his freezer. Armin kept his promise to Brands and buried his skull and his other indelible parts in the garden. The entire ordeal was caught on hours of video by Armin. He taped the entire thing, which later he would frequently watch while masturbating. Armin would say that he felt hatred, fury, and joy while killing brands. It was almost like communion. The belief and the memory of the person are renewed. Over the next 10 months, Armin began consuming Brands' flesh. On his first meal, Armin stated, "I decorated the table with nice candles. I took out my best dinner service, and I fried a piece of rump steak, a piece from his back. I made what I called princess potatoes and sprouts, and I prepared my meal, and I ate it. The first bite was, of course, very strange. I was feeling I can't really describe. I'd spent over 40 years longing for it, dreaming about it, and now I was getting the feeling that I was actually achieving this perfect inner connection through his flesh. The flesh tastes like pork, but stronger." Armin would consume over 44 pounds of Brand's flesh before he began looking for a new participant. For the next 18 months, Armin would bring four new potential participants to his home, including a man coming all the way from London. Armin would hang them from the ceiling, wrapping them in cellophane, and even marking out their body parts for possible consumption. This is from Armin. He says, "There was a teacher, a cook, a hotel employee, and a student. One felt sick, and the others didn't actually want to die, but was just acting out their sexual fantasies. And although all of them were in no position to free themselves, Armin would let them go and cut them down when they said they didn't want to go through with it." He said his victim had to be a willing participant. During those 18 months, Armin contacted at least 400 people on the internet who showed interest in cannibalism. He later stated, "There are hundreds and thousands of people out there who want to be eaten."
And that's even more fascinating. I know for a lot of them, it's just like a sexual fantasy. They don't actually, I guess, assume don't want to be eaten. But the fact that I'm sure a good portion of those people do legit want someone to butcher them and eat them is just so wild to think about.
I mean, it's happened. Like, he's already done it once. This is not a fantasy at this point. This man has already butchered and has pieces of a man in meal-sized portion bags in his freezer at the very moment that he's looking for a new participant. And when I say, stress the word participant, because he had these guys where he could kill them at any time, and he didn't. Like, when they said, "I don't want to do it anymore," he cut them down and was like, "All right, you have to really be wanting to be eaten for me to do it." So that kind of also led into later when everybody's like, okay, was this murder? Because he could have murdered these four guys very easily, but he didn't. Armin was finally caught on December 10th, 2002, when an Austrian student reported him to the police after realizing his advertisement was legitimate. When they entered his home, they found a false bottom in his freezer and 15 pounds of some type of flesh under some pizza boxes. Armin told the authorities it was wild boar meat, but during the raid, officers also found the video footage of him killing Brands.
And to imagine, you know, the officers had to watch all that footage all the way through. So can you imagine the officers that were actually tasked with sitting down in a room and having to watch hours of someone being castrated, trying to eat their own severed penis, and then slowly bleeding to death in a bathtub?
It's one thing for officers to have to do that, but you know who else had to watch that?
The jury.
The jury.
Oh, I can't even imagine. That would be rough.
So began the trial of Armin Muse, a trial that was not as cut and dry as you might think. Three things made this trial quite unique. Firstly, while his crimes suggested insanity, after psychiatric evaluation, Armin was found that he was sane, but they also stated severely disturbed soul. He was, however, diagnosed with schizoid personality disorder, but deemed fit to stand for trial. Secondly, his victim wasn't a victim at all, but a willing participant, and actually took part, like he devoured part of his own flesh during this whole thing. There was clear evidence that Brands wanted to die in this manner. So, was this really a case of murder, or was this a case of killing on request? a form of illegal euthanasia that carries a maximum of 5 years. Finally, another problem that was a huge hurdle in this case was that upon examination of German laws, it was discovered that cannibalism is in fact legal in Germany. And that's where we're going to end this week's episode. I wanted to use the second episode to cover the trials of Armin because they're really what made this case so unique. Because, of course, when this came out, like, the media went crazy. Like, it was on everything. Even, like, the high-level, like, very, like, proper journals and everything in Germany at the time was all about the cannibal, like, the Rottenberg cannibal. So this flooded into Germany and out into the world, and everybody at this time knew about the German cannibal. And it's one of the reasons I think now so many people still associate Germany with cannibalism, even though there's so much around the world.
And you said trials as in plural?
Trials as in plural. It's an interesting thing. That's why I wanted to take the time and actually kind of go over them, because there's going to be some surprises in these trials and everything. So I hope that you join next week for the conclusion of the trials and the aftermath, which is honestly just as bizarre as the crime itself. And that's saying a lot. With that, I'm going to let Jordy close out the episode unless he has anything else to add.
No, I mean, this case has always been very fascinating to me, especially with the fact that it's just such weird dynamics. Like, you know, he is saying, like, he's like, if someone asked me not to kill them, I wouldn't. I'd let them go, even though I had them tied up in a position where I could have killed them if I wanted to. And then, like, the only time he killed someone was the one that was very willingly, all the way up to his death, like, yes, eat me, continue to eat me. And so it's just such a fascinating look at the human psyche and how, like, certain things can...
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, it's not like he said, oh, this guy was willing, and if I had met other people that weren't willing, I would let them go, and he just says that. No, he actually let 4 people go, and as you will see in next week's episode, like, they came to the trial and everything, and, I mean, it's just such a unique case because it's like, you know, what was his ultimate thing? Was he wanting to kill somebody? Was he wanting just to eat somebody? Was he wanting to just make it where these people couldn't leave him? It's interesting, right down to a few things that they still do for Armin today.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see, because I don't know how this case actually ends up. I knew the part about him cutting a dude's penis off and, like, them eating it together, but that's about the extent of it. So I'm fascinated to hear about next week. And until next Monday, thank you guys again so much for tuning in for another episode. Thank you, Brad, for giving us another treat, because a lot of people actually do, like, message me on, like, social media, Instagram and Facebook, and they're like, we really liked the episode that Brad did. And I was like, well, you can tell him that and get him to do more. So yeah, this is a little Christmas treat for everybody, including me. So Merry Christmas to all of you out there. Have a safe and wonderful holiday, New Year, because yeah, next episode will be on actual New Year's Day, January 1st. So we get to celebrate Christmas and New Year's with you guys. Please be safe out there. Know you're not alone. If you are having a difficult time this Christmas, reach out. We'd be more than happy to talk with you. And you can follow us on Instagram at Beers with Queers Pod, that's P-O-D, or on Facebook at Beers with Queers, a true crime podcast. We'll be posting photos from the case on there. And until Monday, stay dangerous out there, my friends, and have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Bye.